Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
Okay, let's talk about this unfun story. Jeremy Gorner and A.D. Quigg in the Tribune have a page one story, probe hundreds tied to PPL loan fraud. Among the sentences, they write about 400 government employees investigated by the state of Illinois improperly tapped a federal pandemic relief fund meant to keep small businesses afloat. Remember Paycheck Protection Program, PPP? While more than 200 have lost their jobs or voluntarily resigned, some have been referred for criminal prosecution. There, they say, is reasonable cause in 378 investigations. They didn't name names, but they talked about the departments. Some people took $20,000, some $41,000 of funds that they weren't supposed to take. They did not qualify. They say later in the story that nationally as many as 69, what was the number? $64 billion in fraudulent loans were handed out, according to an SBA inspector's report. I guess that's just human nature. If you're handing out money to people that need it, people are going to get in line who don't belong. Jeremy, thanks for joining us today. How are you?
Good, John. How you doing?
What else should we know about this story?
Well, just to kind of back up a little, too, John, just how this all started. So the PPP program started under the CARES Act, which passed during President Trump's first administration, probably about, I want to say, 10 months before his first term ended. And this was a time as in the world, as you recall, where COVID was really taking shape over our everyday lives. And local, state, and federal governments were working very hastily to try to, you know, tackle the problem, you know, in every avenue. And that includes providing financial relief directly to the people, with the federal government and the state governments working together. That includes small businesses, because obviously COVID had such an adverse effect on the economy in Illinois and across the country. So what the PPP program under the CARES Act was meant to do is really provide some temporary relief for these small businesses so that they can pay their bills and pay other operating expenses to stay afloat. But what you saw is that, you know, there were a lot of people who took advantage of this program, you know, which would include providing false information on applications, in some cases for companies that didn't exist, as we saw in this State of Illinois Inspector General report released earlier this month. You had many employees from across many state departments here in Illinois who claimed that, you know, provided false information on applications once they acquired these loans, which many of them, like you said, were $20,000 a piece. A couple were for $41,000 a piece. And in some cases saying that they ran a catering business or another business on the side, when auditors said, you know, actually reviewed all this and said, look, we don't see any proof that these businesses exist at all. And in some cases, there was a threshold for those, you know, to be referred to the Illinois Attorney General's office for criminal prosecution.
Well, I was surprised by that in your story, too. They said some of these cases will be recommended for criminal prosecution. How about all of them be recommended for criminal prosecution?
Yeah, no, it's interesting. Like, I'm sure there's a lot of cases that we don't know about. We just don't have a running tally of how many are being prosecuted. I mean, you know, you go to the Kwame Raoul's website, you'll see every month they put out press releases, and many of those press releases, you know, are going to be somebody like a guilty plea for PPP loan fraud. But as I was saying, like, you know, when this program started, this was at an era, this was just one program of different ones throughout the country that provided relief to Americans, not just small businesses. I mean, we saw here in Illinois the unemployment trust fund, where people were applying for unemployment, and there was an audit that came out that said there was a lot of fraud there, billions of dollars in
well,
fraud.
Let me ask you this, Jeremy, because why the emphasis on state employees? That is, you weren't suggesting in your reporting that this was an inside job, that the people that were managing the money had access to it, but rather just these happened to be state employees. But in the private sector, we had plenty of people doing the same thing, right?
Right, exactly. And, you know, this story started because of an annual report that the Illinois Executive Inspector General put out earlier in December. But as we were working on the story, A.D. Quigg and I were like, well, you know, it's not just state of Illinois employees, right? It's employees of other units of government. It's Cook County, it's City of Chicago. I'm sure there's, we could probably write about this all day, John, you know, not just, so we looked in the story, as you saw, we saw that the sheriff's office, the Cook County Sheriff's Office has had problems with this, the Cook County Clerk's Office, and the City of Chicago. And to your point, you know, you're talking about how this is rampant in the private sector too. Very well, yeah. I mean, we didn't focus on the private sector, but one of the people we quoted in our story, Deborah Witzberg, who's the City of Chicago Inspector General, basically said it's especially disturbing that this kind of fraud was, you know, occurring from government employees who are trying to defraud the government. So that was kind of the kicker that we used to hit home that these are government employees defrauding governments that in some cases they work for directly. I mean, well, not directly because they're state employees, but the government's the government.
Sure. I get that.
It's the public sector, yeah.
Her office has prioritized, you all wrote, employees of the Chicago Police Department, whose credibility and truthfulness in statements is crucial. And there's a lesson learned here, and it is something about people, regardless of who you work for or what you do for a living. If you put enough money in front of enough people, people will steal it. They will take it. It's fraud. It's abuse. And we all pay the price for it. And this is a reminder in the Tribune today. Last comment from you. I'm out of time, Jeremy, but anything else you want to tell us about this?
Yeah, the only thing I would add, John, is, you know, I asked Cook County Board President Tony Preckwinkle about this earlier this month. And, you know, really trying to kind of get at what could government leaders do to make sure this doesn't happen again?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, basically what she said is, you know, we've got 22,000 employees in Cook County. And this, you're talking about a very small portion, the select few who choose not to play by the rules, and really didn't have an answer as far as, like, you know, what safeguards can you put in place to make sure this doesn't happen again? So I guess my point is that, God forbid there's another pandemic, there's another situation where the government needs to step up and help small businesses and regular Americans, you know, get money, temporary financial relief.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see what lessons they've learned from COVID so that this doesn't happen again.
It's interesting you say that because we've talked about that on this show in the years past about how if we have another pandemic, we need to know how to educate people and encourage people without taunting people or cutting people off about a vaccine. But this is a whole nother area that we need to be planning for now, and that is how to keep people from ripping the programs off that are here to save the rest of us. It's page one today with A.D. Quigg and Jeremy Gorner in the Tribune. Good reporting, Jeremy. It's nice to talk to you today.
Nice to talk to you, John. Thanks.
Take care.